Strayer. There you go. And that's right. It's NBA Strayer. It's Monday.
Monday.
Excited for a new week. April 12. And I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer sometimes. A Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag. Literally whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff, that booze money. Spend a bit of that on the weekend, I'll tell you what, Jesus. Here in Larry Armour Studios, giving you the lowdown on all the ins and outs of the NBA season while repping Australia a bit. That's what we do here. We don't take things too seriously, do we?
No, we don't, Jimmy.
No, that's right. We leave that for all the nerds. There's so many of them. They love taking shit so seriously. Right, big weekend to cover off this weekend, don't we? Oh, geez, we had scoring explosions, huge comebacks, thunderous dunks that put dudes in the ground. I'm pretty sure Clint Capella's dead. And blokes got kicked out for talking to each other. Sure, so we're going to talk through all that in the NBA Australia Game Wraps, as well as weekend winners and losers. And of course, that's not a knife, old mate, no mate, spud of the night, better than Lonzo Ball, pantsing of the evening, dickhead of the weekend. Of course, there's yeah, nahs, there's the unpopular opinion, there's Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up some flame-grilled takes. There's Australian Player Watch, and it's Monday. So we've got an Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence, and a bonus, Shane Heal, Shoot a Shoot, Shoot Your Shot, Light 'em Up Award, and a preview for all of the games tomorrow. There's a lot of them, so we better get to that too. Right, pick a preview for all those. Daily review of a Nick Cage classic at the end. And away we go. NBA Show episode 587. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
Ah, you better! We better watch out for the Zion attack. Jeez! Baby Shaq out there. Dropping 35 and 15s, coming after. We're going to talk about that in weekend winners and losers, aren't we? But suffice to say, it's pretty terrifying. Right, let's start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Australia with the daily. Whip around big news for this weekend. The Wolves. That's right. They might... Look, Glenn Taylor, the owner of the Wolves, has been trying to find a buyer for a little while now. He's screwed over Kevin Garnett approximately three times in this process. And he's landed on another ex-player. Thing is, it's another ex-baseball player. That's right, A-Rod. Disgraced former MVP of the old MLB, Alex Rodriguez. Jesus. And his buddy, Mark Lore. They've signed the letter of intent. So basically, they've got 30 days to exclusively talk about buying the Wolves and the Minnesota Lynx. Don't forget about that. For $1.5 billion. Pretty gnarly. So exclusive negotiating window to finalize the deal. And the thing is, they'd sort of come out of it 2 and a bit years worth of like limited partners and then take over completely in 2023-24. Kind of cool. Pretty gnarly. And apparently there is the deal, like a part of the deal will be to keep the Wolves in Minnesota. Right there in Minneapolis. Glenn Taylor said they will keep the team here. Yes, we will put it in the agreement. At this point, we have a letter of intent, but when we make up the contract, we'll put that in there. That's no problem. That won't be a problem, he said, until it was a problem. I'll talk about this in year nows, but geez. Pretty interesting. $1.5 billion for the Wolves. Now, remember, the next time you go into the bargaining, you know, the collective bargaining negotiations with the players, and you think, oh, geez, it must be pretty tough for the owners. Just remember that this prick, Glennie Taylor, buys this team for $88 million in 1994. Spends fuck all money on them for 30 years. Never makes the fucking play. He's missed the playoffs 16 of the last 17 seasons. And then goes and sells it for $1.5 billion. Cry me a fucking river, owners.
Oh, jeez, we just can't make enough money, man.
Just sell it then. Shut up, idiots. Anyway, there you go. Wolves. Talk about this a little bit more in our year nows. Alize Johnson out there with the Brooklyn Nets. Signed a multi-year deal worth up to $4 and a bit million. That's pretty good, according to Woj. You like that? It's kind of nice. Sad news. James Wiseman, the number two pick overall in last year's draft, has suffered a bit of an injury to his meniscus, to his knee, his right knee, and it looks like he's probably done ski for the season, which sucks. Because the thing, I think I was talking about this last week, wasn't I, about how, oh yeah, that's right, we were sort of brought up with Iron Matty S, talking about one and dones or whatever, and like how we shouldn't basically be criticizing players until they're at least like 21, 22. And Wiseman's like 19. He's now barely played any basketball. He's been battling injuries all this season. Now he's going to have to sit probably for the rest of it. That stinks. Because he has shown some pretty fun flashes. But either way, speaking of knees, Giannis has sort of been having a bit of a rest in his knee as well. Just keep an eye on that. Keep you updated as that progresses. Hopefully it's all right. He has been sort of playing through it, and they sort of just hit a point where they're like, ah, you know what, to be honest, we've got enough players back and healthy at the moment, Giannis. Take a couple of weeks off, see if it gets any better, which is very smart, because they're pretty much locked in, like, in a top three seed no matter what. In the East, they're three games back out of the top one and two, so why not do it now? Other news, Yogi!
What's a Yogi Ferrell?
That's right. Wow, it's an old joke, isn't it? Is anyone like under the fucking age of 35 know who Yogi Bear is? Anyway, Yogi Ferrell is going to be signing with the Clippers later next week, apparently. After he goes through all the protocols and everything. The rich get richer. They got Rondo. They've got Boogie. And now they've got Yogi. Should have gotten Isaiah Thomas as well. Right, so there you go. That's kind of about all the news. Like, in terms of actual big news, a bit low on the, you know, large amounts of actual news over the weekend. But look, you know, Tim Frazier is going to be signing with Memphis probably. It's kind of nice. And the Wiseman news and the Wolves news just kind of sucked. And there was not a giant amount more, you know. But anyway, Wolves, $1.5 billion. And the Lakers are kind of like, oh, guess what? Yeah, Anthony Davis could be back in like 2 weeks. It's like, yeah, cool. No shit. Right, let's do some game wraps.
Game wraps, 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 game wraps.
Game wraps. The game wraps brought to you by WeAre.co. That's right, WeAre.co. We've teamed up with them to have the NBA Australia raffle, which is gnarly. WeAre.co is a little Aussie startup, making it way easier for you if you're part of a community group, a sporting club, or whatever. Doesn't matter the size. You can just run a raffle. It's really easy. Instead of like fucking around with goddamn like paper tickets and books and sending the kids out to like get it, you know. Who knows what it out in the streets? They're out there on the streets trying to sell their raffle tickets. Don't bother with that. Just give them a link. It's a bit easier. Get people to sign up. Go to weare.co. You know, you got your community sporting group and stuff like that. If you need to do a bit of crowdfunding, you've got a project that you want to get funded, boom. Smash weare.co. Keep it online. Keep it simple. And it's really easy to use. And you can see that with the NBA Australia raffle, which is awesome and very fun and very cool, where you can win a whole bunch of really good stuff and tickets aren't very costly. So go check that out on our socials. WeAre.co, they're radical. Get around them and check out the NBA Australia raffle while you're at it. Right, game wrap, Saturday. Some pretty weird fun games, right? We had Indy beat Orlando 111-106. Orlando just sort of, look, I keep telling you, they keep sticking around. Minnesota blew a game against Boston because Jason Tatum went absolutely bonkers and went off for 53, 145. Boston win this in overtime against Minnesota, 136. Huge come from behind win by Boston to even cover in the end, which is hilarious. 145, 136. Minnesota, I think, blew a 17-point lead in that one. That's good tanking. Memphis lost to the New York City Knickerbockers of New York City, 133, 129. Again, a really good game, which sort of came down to the wire. A lot of clutch performances in that one. It was awesome. Great job. Look, the Knicks just outlasted them down the stretch. And hammer and tongs. It was My Name is Jonas and Jar versus Julius and RJ, but it was really like Quickly and Burks who helped the Knicks get over the hump. But, oh, God. Really fun. Really fun game. And they came back. Julius Randle did great stuff. And RJ Barrett's three in overtime to basically get up was pretty massive. And then the Knicks did the same sort of thing a couple of days later. Anyway, we'll talk about this in a second. Chicago lost to Atlanta. Even with Zachy Cakes, Adam Levine dropping 50, 120, 108. An absolute embarrassing down the stretch performance from the Bulls. Philly lost in New Orleans, 101-94. Dolgies. Charlotte beat Milwaukee. Absolutely crazy. 127-119. Milwaukee did rest a bunch of dudes. You get that on the big jobs. San Antonio lost to Denver, 121-119, thanks to a Nikola Jokic. Hello. Triple-double, 26-13-14. He was real good. And that was a really fun game, Spurs-Denver, because the Spurs should have, like, look, they shouldn't have been in the game. They were. They probably should have even won it, but they didn't. So that's pretty great, right? The Spurs have had a crazy weekend. They lose that one by 2 points and then beat the Mavs by 2 points today. It's absolutely bonkers, and you love to see it. But anyway, good job by Nikola Jokic. And then, of course, the Nuggets got killed today as well. So it's very, very strange. I think that was, what, their eighth win in a row there. But anyway, they just sealed it at the end. Good win for them. Washington beat Golden State 110-107. Russ versus Steph was pretty great. Rusty had 19, 14, and 14. Steph had a 32-piece. But the Wiz hold on for the win. And Houston played the Clippers pretty tough, but then got killed. 126-109. Sunday, Toronto absolutely embarrassed Cleveland. 135-115. Jimmy, that's not that bad. They dropped 87 on them in the first half. Oof. Cleveland just sort of, you know, fought it back to being vaguely respectable. Still a 20-point loss. Speaking of not respectable, though, the Nets, hello, lost to the Lakers in Brooklyn, 126-101, without AD, without LeBron. Andre Drummond towed the Brooklyn Nets. Kyrie got kicked out, so did Dennis Schröder, and Rondo. No James Harden for the Nets, and KD was on a minutes restriction. It's not a giant surprise, but here we are. Philly, they beat OKC 117-93, and B getting back to his old form. Yeah, 27-9 in that one. Sacramento lost in Utah, 128-112. Donnie Mitchell is absolutely tearing it up the moment. He had 42 on that one. Golden State kicked the crap out of Houston on a back-to-back, 125-109. Good win for Golden State. Phoenix absolutely beat their shit out of Washington, 134-106. Booker had 27-6-6 in that. Pretty good. And Portland killed Detroit. They got straight killed, I reckon. What was it? Enes Kanter. He's 30 rebounds.
He got straight killed.
24 points, 30 rebounds, a franchise record. And then today, Atlanta beat Charlotte in a game where Clint Capela actually died on the court because he got dunked into oblivion by Miles Bridges, 105-101. Awesome game. I think it's the first game that Charlotte have lost when it's actually gotten, when they've had a lead in clutch time and actually lost it. And it was all because Terry Rozier probably got fouled on a three that he missed. Didn't get the call. They lose. Boston came back out of absolutely nowhere to beat Denver, 105-87. Hilarious scenes. A 31-3 run. Can you believe that, Denver? Jokic cracked the shits. It was just an absolute schmozzle for the Nuggets. New Orleans beat Cleveland.
Cleveland!
In a game that was wildly close, 116-109. Zion had 38-9-4.
Yeah, he's pretty good, eh, bro?
Milwaukee beat Orlando, 124-87. The Raptors lost in New York to the New York City Knickerbockers of New York City, 102-96, in a really fun game. Came right down to the wire, and Pascal Siakam brain farted into a loss. San Antonio beat Dallas, 119-117, in a ripper game where DeMar DeRozan there had a game winner with 0.5 seconds left on the clock. Indy beat Memphis, 132-125, in another very fun game, too. Minnesota outlasted Chicago thanks to Karl Anthony Towns and a very, very good shooting night for D'Angelo. Russell, 121-117. The Detroit Basketball Pistons held on to make it pretty interesting against the Clippers, 131-124. They eventually lose because Rondo and Mook Morris just hit a couple of threes down the stretch, and the Clippers just like, I guess we should play, shouldn't we? And finally, Miami beat Portland, 108-97, in a fun game. It wasn't that much fun because Portland were never in it. Right, let's do some weekend winners and losers out of all that, shall we? Just sort through all the chaff.
Oh, my God. I won! Recapping our day's top story, the winner of today's state lottery is...
Me.
Kent Brockman. Can we get a shot of me?
There you go.
In other news, tragic mix-up today in Cleveland. Many people killed.
Goodbye. Right, weekend winners, the Phoenix Suns. That's their first winning record for the since 2014. They're going to finish this season. They're 37-15 now. You love to see it. I'll say it until I'm blue in the face. The NBA is way more fun when the Phoenix Suns are good. I don't know what it is, and considering they keep screwing up their uniforms every goddamn time they try, there's just something about that orange, that hint of purple. You love it. Jason Tatum, he's a weekend winner. Well, no shit, Jimmy, he had 53. Yes, mate. He needed a big fuck you game this year as well, didn't he? Because he needed help sort of quiet down a bit of the unrest about the, you know, Brown and Tatum combo there in Boston, because they've been so scuffly all year. But also, they get him two massive wins over the weekend to the Celtics. But Tatum specifically comes out of this as a weekend winner with that 53. You're like, yes. Can we see more of these, please, Jason? Because we've got Donnie Mitchell, we've got Jamal Murray sometimes popping off. We've got some of the other young dudes, and Tatum just kind of like, you know, out there, Mr. Steady. He's like, you know, the lower level, like Tobias Harris is never, you know, never too high, never too low. So Tatum's like a better version of that. We're like, Tatum, can you bring us home? And he went, yeah, I guess I can, actually. 53. Boom, here you go. He was playing against Minnesota, though, who, look, if they added me, their defense might get better. Jesus. Anyway, but good job for Tatum. Look, you love to see that. We'll talk about him again in a second. The Celtics are weekend winners, as mentioned, because they showed some fucking heart. Finally. Look, there are a couple of Jekyll and Hyde teams this year. New Orleans or whatever. We'll talk about them in a second. Sacramento at a, you know, more devastating array. But look, going on a 40-8 run to beat the Nuggets today, who had been smoking hot and literally just run them out of their own house, was awesome. 53 from Tatum and another big comeback to eke it out over the Wolves in overtime after being down 17 in the second half. Look, this is exactly what you want to see if you're a Boston Celtics fan, right? Because you're right back in the middle of the fight for the East. Well, the middle of the East, rather, right? So, because that, what, 28-26 now, has them tied on percentage with Charlotte and Miami through 5-7 and only one game back of Atlanta in fourth. So the season from hell for Boston, with two wins over the weekend where they basically lost the games, becomes suddenly very, very salvageable. You've got Smart and Kemba actually doing little bits and bobs next to Brown and Tatum. And if you can just finish the season with Tatum and Brown actually firing, the regular season, that is, you go into the playoffs feeling pretty bloody confident if you're Boston that, you know, give yourselves a puncher's chance against pretty much anybody with Tatum and Brown firing. But look, now that they've got Thompson and, you know, basically they've figured out their rotation just that little bit, maybe. Who knows what could happen, but good weekend if you're a Boston fan. The Knicks, what a weekend for them! Two wildly close games. It came from nowhere to beat the Grizzlies in overtime. And then hold on, thanks to that Raptor brain fart from Siakam I mentioned. Alec Burks tried his hardest to lose that game for them. But they, if they had have lost those two, who knows what could have happened to the Knicks after this weekend, right? So I talk about the Celtics eking out two wins when they should have lost. Same goes with the Knicks. They're at 27-27-500. They're in eighth, which is massive. Because, look, as long as you stay in the top eight for the Knicks, that's a win for the season, right? Because that gives you a double chance at least just to make the playoffs. And the other teams below you, you've got to feel pretty good about beating either the Pacers or the Bulls, probably in a play-in game. So, look, Knicks, good weekend, crazy weekend to beat two, not, look, the Grizz are good, and the way they came back and won, that was huge. So, good one there. The Raptors won, they should have had that, like, dead and buried, but still. Good job for the Knicks. You can't walk away from that weekend without going, well, that wasn't too bad, hey, oh, yeah. Quickly played one good game, one bad game. Same for D-Rose. So, good job by the Knicks. What you should be a little bit more concerned about is the wear and tear on Julius Randle and his the drop-off in production from him, especially in efficiency. So, keep an eye on that, Knicks fans. Indy, speaking of Jekyll and Hyde, look, this is a team. You have zero idea what to make of their season, right? They look so lost at times. They go for a 5-6 game stretch where they fucking stink. Then they look great. So on the weekend, they eke one out over the Magic and they beat the Grizzlies. They've won three on the trot now. Does that mean they're good? No. Does it mean they can come out weekend winners? Yes. Because my sweet baby, Carrots LeVert, got them the big win over the Grizzlies today. And that's just good. But the thing is as well, India slowly but surely getting healthier. They're sort of had like the little problems that they've dealt with Miles Turner and with the Souvlaki King DeMarta Sabonis. Well, Turner was still out today, but Brogdon's back and he absolutely, he nearly had a triple-double today, 29-9-11. So Indy, look, with their dudes, they've got to feel pretty good. Maybe Miles Turner's the problem. But either way, Pacers, they're now 25 and 27. Still in the top, you know, they're in the 9 spot, so they've got to be doing okay and feeling okay. Feeling good, feeling great. Right, who else for the weekend winner? Zion! Unbelievable weekend for Zion Williamson. 38-9 versus the Cavs, then 37-15-8 against the Sixers as well. Big weekend. And he's a weekend winner as well because, look, the Pelicans need these wins. And he's had over 30 in 3 of his last 4 games. And the one that he didn't was a Nets blowout that he sat most of. And it's like, it feels very much in the last week or two that Zion's putting a little bit more together. And he's sort of getting it over that weird little hump that he was in where it's like, he's got another 26-8 game. It's another 26-6. Now it's like a 34-8. And now it's like a 36-15. You're like, oh, shit. So what's that sound? It's a Mack truck in the form of a person. Watch the fuck out. Zion, big weekend winner. The Clippers just quietly kicking ass and taking names. Paul George is back healthy and absolutely smoking hot at the moment, crushing it. The problem with the Clippers and Paul George is like, Paul, don't waste all this now in the regular season. Save some for the playoffs, mate. But they were down 12 today to the Pistons and came back, rolled and leaned on everyone to get them over the line. And that's exactly what happened. So they won 5 on the trot now. That was a 7-2 homestand that the Clippers just finished. And Rondo was looking good. Mook was looking good. And that's a big win for the Clippers. Look, you beat Detroit. Let's not throw a fucking parade. But at the same time, the way they did it, it felt very Clippery to basically blow that game because they were down big. They outscored Detroit pretty handily in the fourth quarter to win, and that's exactly what happened. Like, Big Deke Bay was out there crushing it. And they had zero answers for him, and then Paul George went, I'll be an answer for him. Boom. And this is all without Boogie or Kawhi. So good job by the Clips. 32 from Paul George today, 33 from Mook. He stepped up in a big way, hit 6 threes in that game. So, look, love to see it. Rondo just coming in off the bench, being a dead-eye sniper as well, is just crazy. But good on him. Good job for the Clippers. DeMar DeRozan there. That's a weekend winner because he's clutched him up. He beat the Mavs with a mid-range jumper, one, you know, half a second left in the game. And it's just the latest chapter of his season-long fuck you, Jimmy, I am clutch campaign that he's been waging against me that I feel personally victimized by. It's like between him and Tobias Harris, like, what the fuck? Is this personal? Like, as soon as I start bringing up how unclutched they are, they're like, oh, actually, Jimmy, watch this. Like, fuck you. All right, well played. Good job, DeMar. That was a huge shot. The Spurs! They lost 5 on the trot, and they really needed that win over the Mavs today, and they got it. And a lot of that was due, obviously, with DeMar hitting a very, very big shot. The game was tied. They were trying their hardest to give it up, but still, good win. They're feeling pretty good again for a second because they had lost five in a row. This gets them back to 25 and 26. They're only one game back up over the Warriors and 2 up on the Pels. But more importantly, look, this game gave them a little bit of an offensive groove, which they had been lacking completely. So good job by the Spurs, getting back into their groove, feeling good about life. Atlanta are winners. They beat the Bulls, beat the Hornets. They needed to as well. These are games they can't sacrifice right there in the middle of that Eastern race. And to beat the Hornets is the old classic double win. So you tag them with a loss, give you a W, and away you go. But look, to do that today against the Hornets without Trae Young was absolutely massive. And they're feeling great because Bogdanovic is out there absolutely crushing it. He had 32 today. He hit 8 threes. And this is why you go out and sign Bogdan if you're the Bucks. This is why you steal Bogdan if you're the Hawks. What's he dropped? He's had, like, you know, in the last couple of games, he's had 28, 26, 21, 24, 32. He's going great on your Bogdan. Good job, Atlanta. OKC, but Jimmy, they've lost 6 straight. Yep. OKC are weekend winners because they've just figured out, if everybody's injured, we can't win games. This is perfect tanking. Good job, OKC. Enes the Penis Kanter, as mentioned, that franchise record 30 rebounds is pretty epic with Nurk out. Way to step up there, Enes. And Kyrie. So Kyrie's already sitting out of tomorrow's game against Minnesota for personal reasons. That's fine. Kyrie also took umbrage with Dennis Schröder in German Rondo. The barking back and forth at each other, the talking, the shit-talking during that Lakers-Nets game. Very clearly hit a point where Dennis Schröder dropped an N-word on Kyrie, and Kyrie basically told him to go fuck himself over and over and over again. And the I think the tipping point was watch your fucking mouth, man. And the refs are like, all right, that's a T. They both get tossed. But Kyrie then goes on Twitter afterwards and says, the N-word is a derogatory racial slur. It never will be a term of endearment, reclaimed, flipped. Never forget its foul and true history. Throw that N-word out the window right alongside all those other racist words to describe my people. We are not slaves or ends. Fuck yeah. Good job, Kyrie. Look, for all the shit I give Kyrie and all the dumb stuff that he's, you know, tends to say and do, he does a lot of great stuff. And goddamn, this is a really good point. So well played, Kyrie. Way to stand up to it and say your mind. Some good stuff. What about weekend losers, though?
We're not losers!
No, you two are winners. Big winners. When I grow up, I want to marry a big winner like you guys. Shut up! Loser.
Loser. Weekend losers. Speaking of Kyrie, the Nets. Oh, but Jimmy, what's going on? Yeah, look, I think this is an interesting sort of view of the current landscape of how we talk about basketball. Oh, the Nets lost to the Lakers. They don't even have LeBron or AD. Andre Drummond dominated them. How are the Nets supposed to win anything? You mean the Nets with KD on a minutes restriction, the Nets with the Kyrie who got tossed, and the Nets who didn't have James Harden? Ah, that Nets. Is that what you're trying to tell me? Yeah, fuck off. But still, to be honest, you had KD and Kyrie for a bit. They had nobody. Andre Drummond did dominate them. But what do you expect? You've got LaMarcus Aldridge out there. And this is the weekend loser. LaMarcus Aldridge, he came out after, he's like, oh yeah, man, look, oh jeez, I'll tell you what, my defense is pretty bad. No shit, LaMarcus! You fucking moron. What an absolute dead shit. LaMarcus Aldridge, oh, I gotta go back and watch the tape because, oh, I'll tell you what, my defense was just horrible. Yeah. Nothing has changed in the last 4 to 5 years then, I guess. That's the case. Got dominated by Andre Drummond. Unbelievable. Clint Capela is a weekend loser because he's dead now, apparently. He got straight killed, didn't he?
He got straight killed.
Miles Bridges. God damn, that was a dunk. LaMelo. But Jimmy, he's just injured and hanging out, and he's actually like rehabbing and playing with his left hand. Yeah, but he's a weekend loser because he was out there wearing a peach jumpsuit. So, where Clint Capela gets dunked into oblivion by Miles Bridges, they cut to the sideline. And there's LaMelo losing his mind. Go, whoa! While wearing a jumpsuit that your auntie Evelyn probably would have rocked in the 1978 range. And you're like, oh, well, that's pretty cool, isn't it? And then you look at it again and you're like, nah. That's a nope from me, dog. The Kings! They're weekend losers because they're fucked. Their season's over. But Jimmy, they're only 3 games back of the 10 spot. Yeah, nah, they've also lost 6 in a row. Their season has been on the line literally for all 6 of those. If they win any of those six, they're probably still within a bit of a shot. But they've lost all of them. So I'll just say it. The Kings are toast. Kyrie and Dennis Schröder. Now, weird weekend loser vibe from this. They both get tossed, and the refs basically tossing people for saying shit. I don't like that that's where we're at. I hate it. I like that Kyrie took umbrage with what Dennis Schröder said, and he doesn't like being called the N-word by Dennis Schröder. That's completely fair for Kyrie. Good on him. And Kyrie telling him to watch his fucking mouth, that's completely benign. Oh, the refs need to jump in and stamp it out. Nah. Look, Kyrie was dealing with it. He didn't fucking swing on the dude. He didn't do anything. He just said some shit. So I think we all come out fucking losers out of this, don't we? Yeah. The Grizzlies, tough weekend. They had a run of 4 straight wins snap. They dropped the 2 on the weekend. Was it New York and then home to Indy. 2 games they probably could have and should have won, but their D just slipped enough. And wasn't quite there. And this is the problem. Like, the poor Grizz, like, they've just been struggling all year just to sort of keep up and stick around. And they're still really young and still pretty bloody good for how young they are. But also, it's a lot of reliance on Grayson Allen, Dylan Brooks, second year Ja Morant, and my name is Jonas Valanciunas, you know. So you're going to get these little stretches, but they're still 26 and 25. They're still an 8. So, look, Grizz will be fine, but jeez, that was a tough weekend. The Bulls, the feel-good story that hit a, you know, that had a couple of wins. That feel-good story hit a bit of a snag. The Atlanta game was there for the taking. They, on a back-to-back, though, and they just ran out of legs completely in the second half. Wasted that insane LaVine 50-piece. And then they fell apart versus the Wolves in the LaVine Bowl. It was nice to see Zachy Cakes, Adam LaVine get a nice big cuddle from Cat, but I don't know. You're fighting for your fucking playoff life there, Chicago. Maybe you don't shit the bed against Minnesota. What are you idiots doing? Unbelievable. And it's also one of those ones where you're like, oh, yeah, the limitations on Vooch sometimes. He's going up against a really skilled other big man. And, yeah, Towns absolutely fucking towed Vooch. It was a pretty tough one. Yeah, 27-12 did Cat. And Vooch is just out there going, oh, well, I've got 18 points and, yeah. Vooch was a minus 14 in that game, shot 13 times, did not have it going. So, anyway, the Mavs! Tough loss to the Spurs today. They've never beaten the Spurs in a season series, apparently. That's amazing. They really needed that one, too. Just one of those gritted out wins just to make everybody believe again. The Cavs, they gave up 87 points in the first half to the Raps, which is pretty brutal. To be fair, that is also just good tanking, but it seemed like the fucking roof was caving in on the Cavs because they were never in that game from the get-go. That was a tough one. Denver obviously gave up the 31-3, the 40-8 eventual run to close out the game to Boston, which is hilarious. They're like, basically, all right, we're going to win 9 straight. They're up 14 points in the third quarter. Facundo Campazzo hits a 3. They're up 14. They then scored 8 points in the entire fourth quarter. And the way they did it, though, just missing everything, it's like, come on, guys. You literally just need to focus just a little bit. Joker throws up, like, there's about 4 minutes left. He just basically gives up, throws up a shot, misses, just stands there and yells at the ref while they score up the other end. It's basically a 4-point swing out of nowhere. And, yeah, that was all she wrote. Denver, killing me. So the weekend loser, though, this is Joker. If this had been a bigger profile later in the day game, with a bit of hype around it, the way that Joker bitched and moaned and eventually just asked out of the game by just tossing up rubbish would have almost sunk like his like MVP odds a little bit, you know? But this was an early game. The Masters and WrestleMania are going on, so that takes about 80% of the basketball media. so he's fine, but Jesus, that was just an embarrassing performance by the Joker. And finally, speaking of embarrassing performances, Pascal Siakam, right at the end of the game versus the Knicks for the Raps. They forced a turnover from Alec Burks, down 2, fast break, and something just snapped in Pascal Siakam's brain, and he just double dribbled. You're like, what are you doing, Pascal? He's got 2 options on the wings. He could have just taken it to the rack, and he just got stuck in between. It was one of the more amazing, inexplicable things you'll see as well, where he's just like, I'm dribbling up the court. I'm going to go, I've double dribbled. It was a real little microcosm of the Raptors season as well. Just stuck between destinies and Siakam sucked. So, yeah, classic. Anyway, let's do an NBA Australia Pro Performance of the weekend, shall we?
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Zachy Cakes, Adam Levine, Jason Tatum, Gary, Terrence, Trent Darby Jr., Donnie Mitchell. Take your pick. All were pretty amazing. Levine's 50 piece against the Atlanta Hawks. Kaká was real good. He shot 18 of 31 against the Hawks. Went 7 of 12 from 3. Ended up with 50 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, but they lose the game. And I believe he had 39 in the first half. So really, second half, if we're looking at this, you scored 11 points. So it's not good enough, Zach. Tatum, 16 and 25 and 6 to 10 from downtown for his 53 points. He was awesome. Absolutely awesome. Again, though, it was against the Wolves. So let's all just settle down. Gary Terrence Trent D'Arby Jr. has one of the most perfect outings you'll ever see, because he's just like, oh, I'm just not going to miss. How does that sound? And everyone's like, well, to be honest, it's pretty good. When you don't miss, you're good at basketball. And Gary Terrence Trent D'Arby Jr. doesn't miss much. He went 17 of 19 against the Cavs the other day. 17 of 19. The only shots he missed were 2 threes. He went 7 of 9 from downtown. Ends up with 44 points, 7 rebounds and 4 assists. Absolutely crushed it. Huge performance. And of course, Donovan Mitchell, as mentioned, had a 42 that was just so perfect. So well balanced that you're like, oh, that was pretty good. 42 points against the Sacramento Kings. Shot 12 of 31. Went 3 of 12 from downtown. But still, he is on an absolute tear of late. He's dropped 41, 37, 42 in his last three games. I don't know. Who do you want to give this one to? Tatum, the 53. I think that's the most points since Larry Bird had 60. So that's pretty good. Gary out there with his 44. Zachy Kex, Adam Levine. Dealer's choice. Donnie Mitchell's pretty good. But Tatum, 53. That was awesome. Spud of the night!
Spud of the night.
Lots. Michael Porter Jr. He was afraid from three as he was of needles. 1 of 12 from downtown against Boston today. That one game dropped his three-point percentage from 44 and a bit to 42.9. Jesus. Seth Curry, 0 of 7 against the Pelicans and 0 of 2 from downtown. He's been stanky up and down the last 3-4 weeks. It's just one of those, you know, little reminders like, oh, yeah, it is hard to be in the NBA. It's also very hard to be a superstar because when you've got a base-level version of the Curry, that's your Seth. Then you got your superstar version, that's your Steph. And you're like, oh, I guess that's why he's just a role player. Just up and down, up and down. Like, it was 13 points a game in December, down to 11 in Feb, 13 points a game in March, down to 9 so far throughout April. The shooting just goes up and down just like a yo-yo. It's a bit tough. Norm! Powell went 2 of 10. The Mavs. Now, they lose to the Spurs today. They probably lost because Tim Hardaway the Lesser couldn't hit a goddamn shot to save his life. 0 of 5 from him. And Jalen Brunson shot 4 of 15 as well. He had a massive 3 late to Jalen, but Jesus, tough. A couple of rooks. Jaden McDaniels, 1 for 7 on the Wolves yesterday. Emmanuel Quickley for the Knicks today. But come on, spud of the night. Spud of the night. The game-losing turnover, or at least our chance to tie up the game. Pascal Siakam against the Knicks. 5 of 18 he also shot. 5 of 18. It has been a rough-as-guts year for Pascal Siakam. His confidence is just shot. And this game-losing turnover was just the latest fucking nail in the what-the-fuck-is-that coffin. So, tough one there for Siakam. That is the spud of the weekend. Who's old mate, no mates?
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no
mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Kyrie getting tossed after sort of reacting to Dennis Schroeder's pretty funny. Brit Tough. It's like, even the refs hate me. All I'm doing is threatening Schroeder, like, and telling him to better watch your mouth, mate. Just an empty threat from Kyrie, but still got tossed. But obviously, this one's going to go to Siakam. Like, that's a tough bus ride home, isn't it? It's like, God, geez, what happened to that one there, Pascal? How many hands do we use to dribble the ball, mate? He's like, oh, shut up, guys. Definitely some old mate, no mate vibe. Pantsing of the night. Fatty, fatty, fat, fat. Isaiah Stewart, Big Beef Stew got straight killed by Paul George.
He got straight killed.
Tough on today. Teenage Mutant Yucca Purtle also got buried by Dorian Finney-Smith. Big Deke Bay got stopped at the rim by Nick Batum. I steal your money and I block your shot. Stop Big Deke Bay's big two-handed jam. Just stopped it dead. Mid-air, that was crazy. But Clint Capella. That is the biggest pantsing, right? Miles Bridges is, like, so far away from the basket when he dunked that. I mean, Clint Capella, just straight to the graveyard. See you, Clint. Bye. Pull one out. Clint Capella. All right, better than Lonzo Ball for the weekend as well.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're gonna get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. Now, imagine Big Dick Babe. Today, he went 8 of 12 against the Clippers. Against the Clippers, he shot 5 of 8 from downtown, ends up with 25 points, had 4 steals. He was really, really, really good. But out of nowhere, there's a contender for better than Lonzo Ball. Last 4 games, 11 and 4, 19 and 8, 14 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 blocks. And then in his last game, 21 points, 5 rebounds and a block. He went 5 of 6 from 3 in that game too. In fact, in that span, he shot 12 of 17 from downtown. Oh, geez, Jimmy, that does sound better than Lonzo Ball. You better believe it, because Mo Bamba is better than Lonzo. But that's right, Mo Bamba. We need Mo Bamba. Repeat, Mo Bamba. Need more Mo Bamba. Absolutely love Mo Bamba, number 5. Absolutely love to see him out there crushing it. Look, the Magic have finally realized that, shit, the only way we're going to get anywhere is by playing all our young dudes to see if they're any fucking good or not. Cole Anthony's shooting like shit, but at least he's fun. Mo Bamba's out there dropping trays. They release Kem Birch. He gets to go to the Raptors. Away you go. And now Mo's out there crushing it. Love it. And today, Mo Bamba is better than Lonzo Ball. He's like a 7'4" Lonzo. Love it. This is great. Finally, Dickhead of the Week. And
Dickhead of the Week.
And probably Dennis Schroeder. Joker gave up on his team. Tough to see that, but probably Schroeder. LaMarcus Aldridge. Oh, geez, my defense was pretty bad, wasn't it? It's like, yeah, no shit, LaMarcus. We've all seen you play. But Joker giving up on his team was pretty rough, and that's a big no-no. So, I don't know. And Dennis Schroeder, I don't know. We're going to talk about this in a second, but yeah, I feel like might, you know, give rise to something a little bit bigger. We'll talk about that in a second. Let's go do some yeah-nahs right after this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Daryl McDonald.
Hey guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Illy.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. Yeah, Nas brought to you by thedailyliquor.com from East Ninth Brewing. If you're in Melbourne, mate, great beer drinking weather at the moment. And they've got so many different amazing types of beers at thedailyliquor.com that there is one there to suit every mood. The best part is you can mix and match. You can do a whole bunch of awesome stuff. And on top of that, they've got wines and cocktails coming at the wazoo. So even if you're not into the beeros, boom. Something there for you. So remember, if you're over 18 and you're in the metro Melbourne area, boom, you can get same day delivery if you order before noon. So go get around the dailyliquor.com, check out all their amazing booze specials. All the beeros are amazing. I love this sample three-quarter IPAs, you know that. And then of course the Dos X, the Dos Blocos XPA. You can drink it till the cows come home, or at least till the Magpies get another win. Bulgies. Banging the code Straya when you spend 20 wingwams, though, at thedailyliquor.com. And you'll get a free six-pack of the Dos X on your mate Jimmy. How good's that? I can't do anything more for you. I'm giving you free beer, so go to thedailyliquor.com right now. Banging the code straight. Beer over 18. Metro Melbourne area. Thank me later. Right, let's do some yeah-nahs. Number one, Dan Drosher. Okay, Jimmy, 2021's officially the Twilight Zone. First Tobias Harris, now DeRozan a clutch. Yeah-nah, yeah. And it sucks. It's 100% the universe going, Jimmy, shut up. And I'm like, to be fair, you're making a good point, universe. Look, it is funny because, like, what's going to happen is, like, Paul George is going to start hitting clutch shots in the playoffs. And I'm going to look like the world's worst, loudest, dumbest prick ever, which I already do, to be fair. But now I won't even have, like, my little pet stats of, like, oh, Tobias Harris and DeRozan are actually horrible in the clutch. And here we are. It's a tough one. Very much Twilight Zone shit. Luke Fragona! He goes, Jimmy, yeah, nah, Kanter is an official double-double machine. Should Enes Kanter be starting instead of Nurk when Nurk comes back? Yeah, nah. Look, it is a bit weird because, like, Nurk's sort of return for Portland has been a little bit sort of up and down and pretty brutal, and his offense is very clearly not there. And so Nurk comes back for the game today against the Heat, and Bam just fucking towed him. He just ate him up. And sure, Canada's defense is like going to fucking kill you anyway, but at least he's going to give you something on offense, whereas Nurk is really just sort of working his way back into it. And it's pretty tough to see. So, like you said, he had a couple of good sort of little showings there at the start of the season, but it's just sort of him building back up his confidence. And to be honest, I'm going to say nah, because in the long run, a confident Nurk working on his game right now is what will benefit you most in the playoffs, right? Like, you want Nurk to hit that awesome purple patch that Nurk can hit, and you want him to hit it in the first and second round of the playoffs when you need it the most, rather than, you know, a random game against Miami in fucking April. So, Kanter is gunning it, and he is very handy, but his value is going to lie in just, like, making sure Nurk's out there kicking ass and taking names, and then Kanter coming off the bench and actually sort of just being a really fucking solid backup is obviously pretty goddamn valuable. Even though Kanter is really good when he starts. 24 and 30 in a game is like nothing to fucking shirk at. But I just still feel like in the long run, Nurk will probably give you a little bit more. Yeah. Next up. Oh, geez. Hey, Jimmy. Do you reckon players will intentionally call Kyrie the N-word in the playoffs just to get in his fucking head? Yeah, nah. Don't like this. It would be a shitty, irresponsible, reckless, fucked up thing for them to do it. But I can 100% imagine someone doing it. Mook Morris, Terry Rose. Plenty of other people. Look, I'd really rather this not even become a fucking, you know, actual debate, because I don't know if we should be dropping any N-words directed at people. You know? Unless, like, you're really good mates and you're all on board with that. And you are, of course, you know, black folk. But Jesus. If Kyrie's like, nah, we don't want to use it, then I'm 100% on board with Kyrie. It's a tricky one, though. Will people use it to get under his skin? Probably. Right. Does A-Rod and his buddy owning the Wolves actually make them sexy? The Minnesota Timberwolves. Yeah, nah. I kind of hate to say it, but yeah. Because A-Rod and Mark Laurie are going to be more visible in a more dynamic ownership group than fucking Glenn Taylor, who looks like someone exploded a fish pie in a microwave and then, like, came up with the purge in real life or something. But yeah, lifelong cheat and a billionaire. Look, there's still more fun than that fucking piece of shit, Glenn Taylor, who's, you know, ruined plenty of careers and been an asshole a lot of his time in charge of the Wolves and fucked over Kevin Garnett countless times and never put a winning product out on the floor, basically. So it'd be pretty funny. Will A-Rod and co still move the team despite a no moving clause? Yeah, nah. I mean, what's A-Rod got to lose? Like, people are going to hate him more? Oh, but geez, I thought Alex Rodriguez was really, like, a really trustworthy kind of guy. No, said no one ever. The thing is, you can put it into a contract. Ah, oh, you can't move the team. It's like, on penalty of what? Ah, oh, well, the ownership reverts back to us. Well, I'm not signing that. You know? And I think there's a point out, like, the lease in Minneapolis is, you know, through 2034, 2035, but there's like a $50 million penalty to break that lease. Now, if you remember when OKC left Seattle, it was like an $80, $85 million lease-breaking thing, and they paid it no problems because they're like, who gives a fuck? That's like fuck all of the actual percentage of what we just paid. Just put it on top as a little tiny premium, and boom, who gives a shit? So would they move it from Minneapolis? The thing is, outside of Seattle, like, this might be the vibe for Adam Silver to go, look, we need to head this off right now, and we're going to expand. We'll go to Seattle, we'll go to Vegas, take that away from A-Rod. Could you imagine A-Rod buying the Wolves and then moving them to Vegas? That'd be fucking hilarious. But I think this wouldn't go ahead if Silver didn't have an idea for an expansion already. So, just saying. Right, unpopular opinion of the day. Look at me. The Nuggets blowing that game against the Celtics, to me, really sort of said, despite everything we've seen the last couple of weeks, since the trade deadline, where they've been unstoppable, still sort of says to me, same old Nugs. You know? 8 points in the fourth quarter. Everyone just going completely ice cold. It's absolutely crazy. And in the back of my little lizard brain, I'm kind of like, yeah, same old Nuggets every time. They lose by 18 in the game. Like 31-3, a 40-8 run. It's just absolutely crazy how that happened. And yeah, until like the Nuggets make the finals, I'm still going to be kind of like, I don't know, man. Are they good or not? They scored 8 points in a quarter, bro. Like, holy shit. Joker goes, he's 0-3. They didn't have Jam and Jamal Murray, though, so I don't know. It's a bit tough to rag on them too much, isn't it? Yeah. What about Outback Takehouse, though? It's Monday at Outback, and you know what that means? Oh, yeah, we've been out the back in the backyard with a cricket bat serving you up some delicious kookaburra wings. That's right, it's going bang straight to your plate, only at Outback. And today's flame grill take is Adam Silver should step in and make sure that a confirmed drug cheat in A-Rod doesn't become the owner of an NBA team, only at Outback. To be honest, it is a bit weird, don't you think? It's like, oh, he's just a businessman now. Yes, and also cheated in one of the most sort of extreme ways we've seen in one of the other professional sports. Doesn't this tarnish the NBA a little bit? I don't give a fuck. It's pretty funny, though. Right, we'll be back with Australian Player Watch right after this.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's talk about Noble. What do Chris Paul, NASA Commander Scott Kelly, and Reddit co-founder Alexis Ohanian all have in common? Well, they've all got incredible experiences. They've all created audio courses to teach you what they've learned, and they're all on Noble, which is a new app where the world's top experts teach new skills in bite-sized little audio courses. They're short like a podcast, expert-led like an audiobook, and 100% ad-free. It's like Spotify for learning stuff. I love it. The bloke from NASA, he teaches you lessons about space. Chris Paul talks about his plant-based lifestyle. And Reddit co-founder Alexis Ohanian teaches you how to launch a startup, which is really cool. And there's over 100 other experts waiting to teach you something new. So if you're keen on learning something new today, download Knowable. Visit knowable.fyi. Download the app. Bang in the code STRAYA and get 20% off. It's awesome. I love them. Give them a shot right now. Right, Australian Player Watch, Big Simo, Ben Simmons. Interesting to see the mainstream media jump onto the story about his sister over the weekend. Not sure what more is going to come of that, but keep an eye out. In the loss to the Pelicans, Simo was horrible. 10 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. He had 1 block and 5 steals, but also 6 turnovers. Shot 3 of 6 from the floor and 4 of 9 from the free throw line. Just one of those games where you're watching him going, geez, just fucking, can we get a little bit more? That's all I'm asking. Just a little bit more from you, please, Simo. Simo, come on, mate. Come on, mate. Just need a little bit more from you. Matty T, Matisse Thybulle, in those same games against the Pals, he had 4 points, 1 rebound, and 1 steal in 15 minutes. He shot 2 of 3 from the floor, 0 of 1 from downtown. And then against OKC, he played 27 minutes, which is a bit nicer. Well, they did kick the crap out of him, so it makes sense. He went 1 of 2 from the floor, all of which were from 3 points, 3 rebounds, 2 blocks, and 3 steals. What a menace. You'd love to see it. Jingles in the win over Sacramento. He went off 20 points. Crushed it. Went 5 of 10 from 3. That'll do it. 6-11 from downtown as well. 6-11 from the floor, rather. 3-3 from the free throw line. He had 6 assists and 3 rebounds. Good game for Jingles. Patty Mills against Denver in that big loss. Went 1 of 6 from the floor and 0 of 3 from downtown. Ends up with 2 points, 3 assists and 1 rebound. A game to forget. And then over Dallas today, he hit a big three late, ends up with 6 points, four assists, four rebounds, and two steals. Shot 2 of 5, all of which were from downtown. Good on you, Patty. Good on you, Patty. The Bangers, Aaron Bangers Baines, win over Cleveland. 2 points, three rebounds in 12 minutes. Shot 1 of 3 from the floor. Okay, Bangers. Dele in the loss to the Raptors. He played 17 minutes. He had 4 points, 2 rebounds, 2 of 3 from the floor. Of 1 from downtown. And against the Pelicans, where they had no one playing, basically, he played 34 minutes. He had 7 points, a season-high 10 assists, 3 rebounds and a steal. He shot 3 of 11 from the floor, 1 of 6 from downtown. Just trying to get that shot falling, isn't he? You'd love to see it. Josh Green and Green didn't play against the Spurs, and same for Will the Thrill Magne. Did not play coach's decisions in the last 2 Pels games. So, tough one there, but, you know, get them the big jobs, especially with the big rig. Zion's out there telling everybody. You want him out there as much as possible. Right, let's do an Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. It's the first and you won the Andrew Gaze Grey Mamba Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence. All right, clap it up.
Clap it up.
There you go. Because today, this one's going to go to Jason Tatum. Oh, Jimmy, that's a bit weird. Yeah, but he's been very, very good. Just the last little while, right? So I mentioned this about, look, if Boston are going to turn a corner and actually be like a little bit dependable, they're going to need Tatum to step up, be more of an ass kicker than an ass kisser. And really, for pretty much the last month, he's averaging about 29 points a game, which is pretty bloody good. Over the weekend, obviously, he had the 53-point game against Minnesota. He shot 16 of 25 from the floor, 6 of 10 from downtown, and 15 of 16 from the free throw line. It was awesome. But the thing is, he's out there rebounding as well. He's gotten 10 rebounds in each of the last 3 games. He had 4 assists in this one as well. And then backed up that big win over Minnesota, the big come-from-behind win. And then the massive extra come-from-behind win against Denver was all sparked by Jaylen Brown having a dunk and then Tatum just going, you know what? Fuck it. Let's kick some ass. He became, basically, so that 53-point game was the highest scoring Celtics game since Larry Bird had 60. He became the youngest Celtic to have 50-plus points ever. And then backs it up with 28-10 in a must-win game against Denver where they looked dead in the water and he came out and kicked some ass and took some names. So Tatum was absolutely excellent over the weekend and he's been really good for like the last little month or so. So we're going to give some props where props are due. How about the Shane Hill Shooter Shoot Shoot Your Shot Light Him Up Award though? Praise the Lord, for I'm healed. It is the Shane Heal.
Shoot his shoot.
Shoot your shot. Light him up award. Oh, I love that. Gary Terrence Trent D'Arby Jr.'s got to get it, right? So 44-7-4, but shot 17 of 19 from the floor. Unbelievable. Against the Cavs, he absolutely crushed it. Went 7 of 9 from 3, 3 of 3 from the free throw line. And the thing is, since he got to the Raptors, Gary's been crushing it. He's averaging 18.5 points a game. He's shooting 47-41-86. 47% from the floor, 41% from three, and 86% from the free throw line. That is absolutely amazing. And I love it. He's gone, look, I'm going to spend half the season filling in for CJ McCollum, lighting it up. And now I've been traded for Norm Powell. So I'm going to go light up for the Raps. And that's exactly what Shane Hill would do. So Gary Trent Jr., Gary Terrence Trent D'Arby Jr., you are the Shane Hill Shooter Shoot, Shoot Your Shot, Line Him Up Award winner for today and for your first 10 games as a Raptor. Crushing it. Right, what about a Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in? Good one today because we've just got Joe Ingles, because Jinglin' Joe Ingles has been doing some great stuff. And out here, basically, so Joe and Renee Ingles, who have a son with autism, pushed for the training after a police officer shot a Salt Lake City teen with autism in September. The Salt Lake City Police Department announced over the weekend, we're excited to be the first city to have all first responders certified as sensory inclusive. We hope that sensory inclusion grows in cities and towns throughout the country. Thanks again to Renee Ingles and Joe Ingles for making this all happen. Very, very cool. So there's like a inclusion for all sort of video that's sort of attached to it all, talking about how cities and towns bring sensory inclusion to sort of the forefront of the way their first responders sort of think and react to people out there, which is really cool. So you got Mayor Erin Mendenhall, also, that's the mayor of Salt Lake City, saying, thank you, Renee Ingalls and Jingler Joe Ingalls, for bringing this important training to Salt Lake City. We'll all be better for it. Which is very cool. And it's pretty gnarly. And Jingler Joe Ingalls saying, look, there was just another incident in LA. It's time for all states to step up and commit to the training. And Ryan Stipanovich said, well done, Renee and Joe. Thank you. Hope the other cities will follow soon. Joe Ingalls replies, that's the goal. So, fucking love it. And there was a very proud day that he tweeted out as well at Renee Ingalls about how all the first responders in Salt Lake City are out there getting this sensory inclusion training, which is really cool. So, look, Joe Ingalls is actually out there, actually making a big difference as well. And obviously with the incredible work that he's been doing with his charity as well for Autism Awareness Month, he's just fucking kicking goals and absolutely crushing it. So good, great job, Joey. You'll love to see it. Him and Patty, just some of the most inspiring blokes you'll ever come across. Right, let's do some game previews.
Game previews. Game previews.
Thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem, Jimmy. How was your weekend?
Oh, mate. Took the squid up to his grandparents' place. He loved it. I turned around, came back. We went and got shit-faced at the pub. And then we hung out. Old mate and I, sand squid for the first time in 2 years. Absolutely amazing. So that was pretty good. Had a great weekend. In the picks, though, we went 13 of 26. Bit of an up-and-down weekend, though, wasn't it? Like, you had a lot of weird results. People sitting. The Lakers upsetting the Nets, etc. So we are 471 of 855 for the season. So, pretty good. We've got 9 games tomorrow for Tuesday, which is pretty big. So, that's all right. Lakers at Knicks. Can the Lakers back up their big win over Brooklyn against the Knicks? No. I'm going to take the Knicks -3. And then the Knicks will come out firing. Even though the Knicks will be on a back-to-back, the Lakers just stink. So, give me the Knicks -3. Philly, you go to Dallas to take on the Mavericks. The Mavs are in a back-to-back. Philly, can they actually step up? I'm going to take Philly -2. I think this is one of those moments, one of those wins where Philly go, yeah, look, we do have enough weapons to contain someone like Dallas. Enough bodies to throw at the likes of Luka. And Philly will win it. So give me Philly -2. San Antonio take on Orlando. San Antonio on a back-to-back. I'm going to take the Orlando Magic here +6. Their playing team's really tight. And San Antonio are one of those teams where it's like never entirely sure if they can put teams away. A lot of their stuff seems to be pretty tight. So +6, give me that for the Orlando Magic. Brooklyn go to Minnesota. The Nets are going to be without LaMarcus Aldridge, without Kyrie, and obviously without James Harden. So I'm going to take Minnesota +9.5. Just because, look, even with them on a back-to-back, I think they'll be fine. Minnesota, 9.5 points getting that. Brooklyn, can they win it? Without Kyrie, without Harden, with KD on a minutes restriction? Maybe. But I think Minnesota will cover. Chicago go to Memphis. This is actually a really fun game. Ja versus LaVine. Vooch versus My Name is Jonas. I'm going to take the Memphis Grizzlies here, -2.5. They've got all the weapons, I think, to match up against Chicago pretty well. And they're a better team. So give me Memphis, -2.5. Sacramento at New Orleans. Speaking of teams that are up and down and you have no idea what's going to happen, New Orleans right there and Sacramento. Teams that lost 6 on the trot. Go to New Orleans. They're going to surprise everybody, win it, aren't they? But I'm going to take the New Orleans Pelicans -3.5 anyway, just because I can't trust or think about Sacramento winning ever. Washington go to Utah. They're 12.5 point underdogs. That's a lot of points with Beal and Rusty. I might take Washington +12.5 just to cover. I think this might be a big Utah win anyway. But by about 10, 11, 12 points, 12.5, probably just a half point too much. Give me the Wiz. Denver go to Golden State tomorrow. They're 3.5 point favorites. This is the Denver team that was on an 8-game winning streak, just about to be on 9, and then crap the bed in just explosive fashion like they're the squid against the Boston Celtics. They go down the road from Colorado to Golden State. A Golden State team that's just lost James Wiseman. I think I'm going to take Denver -3.5 here. I think there's going to be a big statement. We're sorry. We're going to fix it. Come out ass kicking and beat Golden State. So give me Denver -3.5. And finally, Phoenix host Houston. Now, Phoenix got absolutely like embarrassed by Houston last week. Do they bounce back and kick their ass this time? You better believe it. I'm taking Phoenix minus 13 for just an absolute statement shellacking of the Houston Rockets. So give me Phoenix minus 13 against Houston. And away we go. So there you go. Go to PlayUp Australia. Go to playup.com.au/NBA Australia. Join up. Get around their NBA specials. Remember, bet responsibly. Don't be a dickhead. Be over 18. And that's it. We'll see you tomorrow. How good's that? Yeah. Big weekend. Jesus. That show took forever. There's a lot going on. Anyway, go check us out on NBA Australia, NBA Australia's Twitter, Facey, IG. We're all over the socials all the time. You know that. SmashNBAAustralia.com/shop. Buy some merch. Go check out the NBA Australia raffle with our buddies at weare.co. Tickets are cheap as chips. Give it a look. You can buy a couple of tickets. The prizes are amazing. So, yeah. You get merch packs. Tickets to the NBL games. What else? KO or a League Pass subscription, whatever you like. That's pretty good. Anyway, check out World Wrestling Australia this week with Adam on YouTube. World Wrestling Australia is awesome. WrestleMania, he's going to have a massive, massive, massive week. So go check that out. TheDailyLiquor.com, banging the code Australia, get a free six-pack. Knowable.fyi, get 20% off Knowable with the code Australia as well. Fang us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, whatever app you use on Android phone. It does help out. Please do it. Big thanks to Coda from Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, though, Hassats. They're up and running out of times out now, and it's the best. Also, big thanks go to Joshua Delarantis, Fascinator, Goldmines, Ram, Shackalami, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green Green Green, and Dozers for all the tunes that you hear throughout the show. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp, Triple J and Earth, Facey, Spotify, Apple Music, whatever. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. Right, we're going to close out today's show with a brand new Deli review, and we'll catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would ya? And later, Hosen! Oi, 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 how the fuck are you? Is it your old mate Deli over here just popping off in the latest pop culture review, eh? And I'm going to tell ya, I'm still bloody doing great over here, back playing with my mates and shit on the Cavs. Got 10 dimes yesterday, which is, I'm feeling fucking awesome, I'll tell you that much. Oh, I just bloody love it, mate. I missed it so fucking much, you know, just getting out there with the boys, diving for shit, dropping threes. It's going fucking, yes, I'm in my fucking, oh, I'm in my bag, mate. This is the best, but, yeah, so, look, so the team's going through a bit of a rough patch at the moment, shit as well. Like, not a heap of wins. Like there was in my heyday with my mate LeBron and shit, but still we're out here competing, doing alright, so yeah, life's okay. So, I mean, apart from my beloved Maggie's back home, like they're fucked, I'll tell you. Like, losing to Greater Western Sydney? Bugger me, that's like losing to the Cavs. What are you doing? Pendles, pull your finger out. Anyway, so look, we've been on the road this weekend, so it means a bit of a hotel tour for your mate Deli here, so a bit of a rest with some tins. Good movie on the telly and shit, and I don't know about you, but I just like flicking through the channels and stuff, going, what's going on? Fuck, there's nothing here. This is bullshit. Maybe I'll go out and meet the fellas, whatever. We can't do that because of COVID, just saying, shush, shush, don't tell anybody. So I'm just having a couple of Rona tins, and I'm like, oh, fuck, what's this, mate? Oh, fuck, what's this? Oh, how did I miss this? Because I'm turning the TV around, and I stumble on the bloody best movie I've seen in fucking years, mate. Because it's got my favourite actor ever, non-rock division, Nick Bloody Cage in it. And I'll tell you what, there's no misses around to tell me turn this off or nothing. And this movie is fucking sick. It's called Primal. Seriously, I have no idea how I missed this fucking movie, but it's the best movie I've seen in ages. Like Nick Cage, he like traps animals and shit. And he like traps his white jaguar and shit. And they have to put it on a boat and shit. But then, like, fucking Christopher from The Sopranos is on the boat too, trying to get some bloke back to the USA and shit. And, like, no spoils or nothing, but all hell breaks loose. And it's, like, bloody glorious. There's, like, animals and shit going everywhere. And stuff's going fucking haywire and exploding. There's, like, fucking shots fired, man. Shots fired. Oh, it's nuts. And Nick Cage is running around going, hey, I'm Nick Cage. And you're like, yes, this movie's fucking unreal. So, I don't know about you, I don't even know how this didn't win the Oscar 2 years ago. So, do you know how hard it must have been for Nick Cage to try to act opposite like a CGI white tiger and shit? Because, I don't know, but probably fucking hard. Like, either way, the movie's unreal. 257 out of 10 Daily Ones from me. It's just set a new record on the ranking scale. It's bloody amazing stuff, Primal, so go check it out. Tell us what you reckon. It's probably the greatest movie I've ever seen. So, there you go. That's it for me for this week. I'll catch you next week for another pop culture review. Later, fuckers. Daily out.